Again, good morning. This week being our first week here as a family has been quite eventful. It feels like we spent the first few days driving constantly, just getting used to where everything is within the community and everything. And then by, I think it was Wednesday, we spent a full day together, Jeffrey and I, and the worship team and others, and just made for a wonderful week and had dinner together at Jeffrey and Rosalind's house. I asked this morning if there was an invoice of any damages that we needed to receive. But other than a few picked flowers, I think it was okay. Thank you, Jeffrey. Well, our kids said, "Dad, we've never seen an older man with so much energy. He wore us out." But it is a bit of a hurricane when we come. You kind of get to the point where they're back in their car seats in the car, and we all go, "Whew." But it was as much a joy for us as it was for you. And but as we've begun settling in and begun the process, we are staying in a home right now in the Beachcomber area, and I believe that's what it's called, and it's just a lovely community. It's this beautiful little peninsula that you get to walk and find water and every corner you turn on. And so I spent my early mornings and late evenings just walking. I just can't help myself. I feel like we sit down and I'm like, "What? Let's get outside again." And so it's just been, you know, a beautiful week of divine moments. Yesterday, the picnic was just wonderful to see those who took part in the puppets and putting on that show for the kids be so excited and genuinely engaged with the community was refreshing. Both for Jackie and myself. So it was such a joy to just come and watch and be a part of that. But as we're settling in, I think the last number of months for us as a family, we've been wrestling with this question of finding stability. When you're in a season of transition like we have been, and like you have been as a congregation with, I'm sure it would have come as a shock the day that Pastor Douglas expressed that he would be stepping down, who I've yet to meet. But just so you know, we intend to get them as back as soon as possible. Both Douglas and Patty, right? Is that? Just enjoying so much the fruit of their ministry here. But for, as you know, through seasons of transition, there's this real hunger and longing for stability. And as we have been on this for the last number of months, considering coming here, deciding to come here, listing our home for sale, all of these different steps that take place, you begin this process of destabilization in order to transition to a new normal, a new stability that's yet to reveal itself. And so you trust that somehow the Lord is going to provide that new stability. And so you, in faith, you destabilize. You take down life, home, things that you've trusted in and found comfort in. You take them apart in order to start this journey to find some unknown, new mystery that Jesus has for you. And so as we've done this as a family, we couldn't help but reflect on when you destabilize all the things that you had comfort and strength in, you now are forced to find stability in Jesus only, aren't you? As you had to let go of Douglas, and as Jeffrey and Rosalind stepped in for the last number of months and have served so wonderfully, I've asked Jeffrey to be a part of today to just continue to help me merge in. But I would just encourage you to express all of the things, say the things that you're thankful for to these two, that they've how they've served over the last 6 months. They have been such a blessing to us. But would ask that you would actually say the things that you feel, as this is, in some ways kind of the last Sunday that I have him. And then he goes back to being just part of the congregation. But please take time over the next number of weeks to express your thankfulness to both Jeffrey and to Rosalind. But as you've let go of certain stabilities, it forces you to be more explicitly and specifically trusting in Jesus for the sake of his church, don't you? For those who are on council, for Allison as she chaired this process, it really pushes you to Jesus, doesn't it? You don't know what kind of pastor is going to come your way. And so all of us as a community in different shapes or forms, us in our move and you in your faith-building process of praying us in, it pushes us to trust in Christ. It pushes us to see Jesus as the one who is behind those physical stabilities, as Jesus is the source behind the places that we found comfort in. And it pushes us, those things when they get stripped away, to recognize, oh, it was you along, Jesus. It was you along in the ministry of Douglas and Patty. It was you alone that's going to be in our future. And so there's this desire, this need in us to know where provision's coming from, to know what's going to be stable and secure in our lives, to have a home, a place that we can call our own that we know we're going to be safe in. We know we're going to be good in. We know we can live within and rest within. That longing within all of humanity. I think this draw even to be in beautiful places. As I walk around the community that we're living in and see the island, I just find myself going, this is somewhere halfway between earth and heaven, isn't it? It's just a beauty. You come face to face with the grandness of his creation, of the beauty of it and the grandeur of it. At nighttime, we sit with the seals as they eat in the water. And in the morning in prayer, I was accompanied by three sea otters on the edge of the regional park there. And so there's all these different aspects of beauty and glory that are shining through in this place. And as I've walked amongst it, I realized that the desire to live, because in a lot of ways our communities are jostling to see who can get closest to the water, aren't they? Right? The closer to the water you can get, the better. And because you're face-to-face with the beauty at that point, right? There's nobody else in the way. Get out of the way so I can see. Right? And so everyone's kind of jostling for these points and to see this. And I realized that that's not inherently wrong. I think we were created for this need to live in the midst of grand beauty. When we read this passage in Genesis chapter 1, that and the previous verses before this, we see God creating and placing mankind in the midst of his best. What a picture of God's goodness towards people. Is that he places them in the most beautiful part of his creation. In some ways, I as I walked, I went, everyone should want to live here. Everyone should want to. I don't think that's a sin. I did when I didn't live here. I looked at all of you and went, oh, they just got to be in the nice parts. I probably judged you a little bit just because I was jealous, I think. But I think as a prairie boy, so that's where I grew up, Saskatchewan and Alberta, and I've kind of just inched west as the years have gone by. But being exposed to this beauty is capturing. And God does this intentionally, is that he places humanity in the midst of his beauty so that they would be fulfilled by the creation? No. So that they would see and be fulfilled by the Creator. I've often heard the phrase that you can miss the forest for the trees. In the same way, I think what we end up seeing in the midst of this chapter, and as we get into Genesis chapter 3, is that Adam and Eve missed the Creator for the creation a bit. Is that they're placed in this beautiful garden with perfect provision. Perfect provision. Everything they could possibly need is provided for them. And God is present amongst them. What a gift. That God makes himself available to them. And so we can see as we move through these verses, beginning in verse 26 and 27, we see that God begins by offering to them his fellowship. By making them in his own image, he's offering a common fellowship. That God actually wants to be in close relationship with them. Secondly, we see as the verses continue that he puts them in this place in context of beauty so that they would see how good the invisible God is. That they would see how good God is. Not just hear about it, but actually see it in the midst of his creation. That his creation is a means by which he reveals himself. Thirdly, he gives them purpose. That their purpose actually produces in them a sense of pleasure. That he gives them dominion over all things. To serve and to bless something other than themselves. Serve the creation. Work the creation. Get your hands in the dirt. This is something we have to actually try and keep our kids from doing while we're here. Because everything has been so beautifully cultivated, and my kids want to come and pick it. You grow flowers, my family destroys flowers. It's a fleeting beauty for them. Look at what I killed, Daddy. They don't say that, but they've done that. So God gives them purpose within this beauty. And the best, one of my favorite parts of the creation story is how God creates man just as he's about to take a rest. God creates all things, then creates man at the end, I think because he didn't want man to take credit for everything. I think he wanted man to enter into his rest. So we were created to enter into God's Sabbath, his perfection. That man's first day would be to enjoy God, to find fulfillment in the goodness of God. But then by chapter 3, we have the fall. And here, Adam and Eve leave all of God's perfection. Sorry, I got to keep my big feet from kicking this thing. Adam and Eve choose to leave all of God's perfection in order to pursue self-improvement. Essentially, Satan's temptation to them is, you could be more and better than what God has created you to be. You could be more like him. He already made them in his image. And so this trick is to say you weren't good enough. You need to go take things into your own hands. The garden isn't good enough. You need to become greater. His provision isn't enough in creating you. You need to create yourself. And so they leave the perfection of God in order to try and accomplish something. In order to take on responsibility for their own provision. And to be independent of him, as if somehow he would be pleased with that. When he created them to be dependent upon him. fundamentally, Adam and Eve is a failure to see the beauty of God and to worship Him. They were in the midst of perfection and believed the lie that they needed to somehow add to it. Isn't that radical? Isn't it sad that they would be consumed by something like that? Years ago, my wife and I and the kids, we had traveled south of Victoria, and we had stayed in the Souk area. I don't know if many of you have been there. And if you keep going past Souk, I think it was, there's this beach called China Beach. And we started by going, oh, this looks close. And you know those trips, 2-3 hours, it just kept going and going and going. You still haven't found it. There's no food out there, which with our kids is always an issue. You got to plan food. Anyway, so we get to China Beach, and we'd actually just had a terrible holiday. We'd actually just spent a week and a half or so on Pender Island, which is a beautiful spot. But we went and stayed with friends that had taken over a camp there and were running it. And they were so busy, and it was so stressful. And we had a rough year of ministry, and our souls were quite tired. And we kind of booked this cabin in Souk as a last-ditch attempt before we headed back to the mainland. And so we get there, and it's this tiny little place that we kind of all shoved ourselves into with a really uncomfortable hide-a-bed, which should have stayed hidden, if you ask me. But anyway, so we went on to China Beach to kind of try and find a sanctuary. And as we came down through the rainforest, this beautiful rainforest walk, the Lord began to just speak to my heart. As we came out onto the beach, the kids had kind of run up ahead of me, and they had just scattered, all went in different directions, and all had found their own little sweet spot. There's this fresh water stream that came out of the rainforest across the beach and into the ocean. One of my kids had parked themselves there and was playing amongst, it was raining, but they were all perfectly at peace. And Jackie had gone off and was walking herself, and another kid was playing in the ocean, and another kid was building sandcastles, and everyone was perfectly content, which as a parent is a gift, to not be entertaining, to not be working for them. And I found myself standing, there's a steep kind of cliff that comes out, and it angles out so you can actually stand under it if you haven't been there. And there was fresh water running down, and I just found myself standing underneath it with water dripping on me. And it was almost like Jesus was just washing a tough season off me. And because my heart was desperate to know that God was going to care for us. And as I stood there, this promise began to take shape of God speaking over our family. And the promise had these four different things. I was standing under this cliff, and he said, this cliff will be a place, this is a picture of stability, of protection. I'll cover you. And then as I looked out over the kids playing and my wife walking, he said, the sand, the beach, is a picture of joy. I'll give you joy if you stay in me. And then looking out into this ocean, which has no end, as far as you can see, was a picture of his endless love. And then as I turned and the rainforest behind me, he said, and this is a picture of the promise of fruitfulness, that if you stay in me, you will bear gospel fruit. And we just sat in that place, and it became this picture of what he was promising us for our life if we stayed in him. And we've held on to that for years. Held on that he was going to provide for us and through that. This is what all of humanity leaves. These promises, when we say, I will take care of myself. I'll be enough for myself. And we end up destroying the creation, don't we? Because we consume it. Because nothing is enough. Nothing will ever fulfill the human heart but the eternal God. And so it's this quest, this endless pursuit that takes us out and to eating anything we can get our hands on, in a way. But really, it's this fundamental desire to be found at home in God. And what we see in Christ's coming is that very, it's like Jesus himself is the return of the Garden of Eden. Everywhere he goes is the walking tree of life again. And everyone who comes in contact with him goes, oh, I have found satisfaction. I have found my purpose to dwell under the tree of life, to eat and to dwell within the house of God, that Jesus himself is the fulfillment of all of that desire. And when we find ourselves in and with him again, we find ourselves refreshed. That to be in Christ is to be in the Father's house, is to be home again. The home that we were absolutely and unequivocally made for. It's amazing when you look at the Gospels because we see Jesus, he's the living, breathing Ark of the Covenant, Ark of a New Covenant, where in the old nobody could come near it, now the whole world throngs to be close to it. This is the call of his church, to be his house, gathered to be amongst Christ, to be in Christ, to be united to Christ, to have Christ in common. This is the call of Christ's church, Oceanside. It's to be the house of God, to be the dwelling place of God. That when we gather, Christ would be amongst us. And as I've been praying about this over the last number of weeks, the Lord brought to mind the scripture, Psalm 69:9, where David writes, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." This passion for God's house, for his church, is a passion for God to dwell amongst his people. That's what David longs for. A zeal for the house of God is that God would dwell amongst his people. And this has captured my heart. The Lord woke me early this morning. I just laid there reflecting on the places that I have been most satisfied in my life, and they were the places of his presence. And often, I would say 99.9% of the time, those were when his people were gathered. I thought back to all the times in church that as long as I can remember, since I was an infant, I have loved his church. That's the place I feel most at home, is here. Somebody asked me how stressful last Sunday was. I went, not at all, not even in the least. Surprisingly and weirdly, I wasn't nervous. Is that a bad sign? I was concerned. But it felt so instantly like home because of Christ in common and his presence. I'll end quickly here, but interesting point this morning as I prayed. The Lord took me back to some sermon preparation I did about 3 years ago. I was preparing a sermon on something different, and I had a little bit like a flash of a vision. It was kind of like a picture. And in this vision, I was preaching to a small congregation about Psalm 69, "Zeal for his house will consume me." And I was ministering with a British pastor. And so I wrote this in the margins of my sermon preparation, going, I feel like this is significant, but it had nothing to do with my sermon for that day. So I was kind of like, I don't know what that's about or where that's coming from. And then this morning I was having coffee at the Rusted Rake, and I was reading over again Psalm 69 and realized it was a fulfillment of it today. Today's a fulfillment of that. 3 years ago, this random picture. And all I could remember was that this priest was incredibly handsome. This pastor, this British pastor. Okay, that part was a joke, but the rest of it is real. But all this idea that we would be consumed, our hearts would be consumed with the vision that his church would be a foreshadowing of the new Eden, a taste of heaven to come, a return to that place where we, when we come here on Sunday and the word is unfolded before us, the word of Jesus that we know most certainly that everything that we could possibly need for this life has been provided because we've been given Jesus. Everything we need for life and for godliness has been given. Cure for every ailment, either in this life or the next, has been given because we're given Jesus. Hear that phrase from the Heavenly Father. If I have given you my Son, have I not given you all things? In Jesus is the whole garden given to you again. All of it. And no longer is the tree of life separated from mankind, but it's placed in you, in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So when we gather together, it's in faith that we say, heaven has returned to earth in Jesus. All of God is made available to us again in Jesus. The scriptures, we find our food because the scriptures are about Jesus. And our souls are satisfied afresh. That we can go back into the world that makes us long for more. Hopeful because we know more is to be found in Jesus. And that the creation would not be wasted on us because we would see through it to him. That when we gaze upon the beauty of the ocean, we'd see the love of God and let our hearts jump towards it. That when we see the beauty of the creation, I can't help but touch every one of those arbutus trees. Is that what they're called? I just have to touch it. But every beauty within the forest that we find, that we'd remember the cross. That we'd remember the beauty of our Savior and let our hearts find fulfillment there. Every time I feel like I should go, let's take it easy with Christ Church, Ryan. Go easy. Go slow. Don't throw your whole heart out there. Every time I think that thought, an eagle comes. Every time since we've landed here in the last week, eagles fly by, and it's this call from God for me to go, stop, stop it. Stop holding back. Give the vision of God for this church. Let's dream together for Christ's church. Let's dream for Christ in the midst of his church. Let's dream to reach a region. Let's dream to change an island. I can't help it. I can't help myself. But believe that Jesus is good enough for those dreams. That Jesus is faithful enough for those dreams. And that it's those dreams that are the very heart of Jesus. Because what are we asking for? For his church to be beautiful? For his church to be full of his presence? For his church to give a message that transforms lives? I can't help it. I can't help it. I want it so badly that zeal for his house has consumed my heart. It's consumed my mind. I can't help it. And so today, as we close this time before I start crying all over this pulpit, I would implore you to dream for her, this church, and that she would be as beautiful as Jesus has destined her to be, and that you would again give your whole heart, that we would make this island his temple, to make it his. And that everything that we see and do, we would give him glory. We would thank him for it. That we would see him as the orchestrator and the creator. And we would glorify in him. We would find fulfillment in Jesus. And so my encouragement for you today was, as you go out into this week, that you would engage with His creation even more intentionally than you ever have in order to find Him in the midst of it. To see Him, that each experience that you would have, whether kayaking or walking or sitting on your deck, would be to glory in Christ. The Word, the Logos, the Creator of all things. And together, return to Eden in Him. Amen.